I am glad that you're here, especially if you're a guest with us today. I'm really thankful that you've considered joining us this morning, and I pray that for you, just like everyone around you and for those watching online today, I pray that you're able to take one step forward in your faith towards Jesus. Wherever you are today, you find yourself just heading in that direction and taking one step today. Last week, we began a new old series called This is Crossbridge. And we talked about how why is really more important than what we do. When we understand why we do things, it really will fuel what we do. And we talked about how Jesus boiled it down into really two extremely important things: loving God and loving people. And so at Crossbridge, that is our vision. That's what we attempt to do with everything that we've got, is we want to, you know, be loving God, loving people, and serving the world that's all around us. And, you know, I got excited about that stuff, but I'm always trying to figure out, like, how do you do that? What's the approach you take? If you've ever been to the Donnarumma house, our house, and you've come up into our kitchen, you've probably seen a sign that's hanging on the wall, and it's our family rules sign. Now, some of you have family rules signs in your house, and, you know, they were super trendy back in the day, and you can staple them and create them, and it was a lot of fun. And Eileen and I kind of got into a discussion over what we should hang on the wall. She liked this one. I had a different opinion that I'll show you in a second. And, you know, with this, it was great. Does anybody have something like this or this exact one in their house? Like sets of family rules that you have hanging out? Yeah, I could see some looking at other spouses going, do we have that? Do we have something? That was great. And you're like, no, we don't have rules in our house. Have you seen our kids? So we have some family rules. And you know, this is what's up there. We want to help each other. Say please and thank you. Dream big. Be happy. Do your best. Always tell the truth. Share. I like how that one's big. Never give up. Be nice and play fair. Keep your promises. Laugh often. Pay with hugs and kisses. Have fun. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Listen to your parents. Sorry, I get stuck on that one. And say I love you. Now, I like this, and Eileen really liked it, so I'm like, okay. But my preference was this. In this house, we use the force. There is no try. We are scruffy-looking nerf herders who find your lack of faith disturbing. We know that that's no moon, and these aren't the droids that you're looking for. Laugh it up, fuzzball. You're no good to me dead. We say I love you, and I know. And I am your father, because in this house, we do Star Wars. This is what I feel like should be hanging in my house. Now, I mean, all joking aside, we do have family rules. We have things that we do stick by. I think we might say some of these more than we say the ones that are hanging up. Right now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, we don't try, we do. And I'm like, oh, we sound like Yoda. You know, this is our house. You know, we have other things that we would probably include. You know, we in our house, we constantly tell our kids and we try to live, you put other people before yourselves whenever possible. Everyone has different talents and skills, so do your best with what you've been given. Don't worry about comparing it with other people. Life's not fair. Stop pretending it is. Don't wake mommy and daddy up before 9 o'clock on Saturdays. I mean, these are pretty simple, right? You know, with the joking in there and joking aside, it's important to have family rules. It's important to have some guidelines in your family, because there are certain times, maybe your life looks like mine, where things come up and you're wondering at the end of the day, like, what did I do today? And was this pushing me towards my vision, towards my goal? And when so many things come up, we don't know what to say no to anymore. We don't know how to establish what's the most important things and what are the things that just don't matter. Not only do we forget to ask why we're doing what we're doing, but we've got no idea if what we're doing is even good, if it's even benefiting who we are and the families that we live in. I'm going to make the assumption this morning that most people, including myself, have schedules that are overly tough to manage. There's a steady flow of barbecues, birthday parties, overtime requirements at work, on tops of more job stuff, school stuff, and trying to squeeze anything else that we can into our schedules. We live in a culture that has so much to offer us, but not all of it is equally important. Everything's going after our attention, our time, and our resources. But we have to ask, where do we want our lives to go? And should those things be part of it? The reality is we can't do it all, even though we feel like we have to. You've probably said that phrase because I know in our house we have to. I don't want to do this, but we just have to. Why? Why do you have to? Why do you have to do it? You have to do it because whether you choose to understand this or believe it or not, you have spoken and unspoken family value rules in your own personal life and in your family. You do certain things. You may say, I don't want to go to that cousin's birthday party, but I have to, because unspoken in your family, you always attend family parties. That's a non-negotiable. You'll do this forever. Right? You're not allowed to say no to some of that stuff. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. But what I am saying is that you've got rules, whether you'd like to believe it or not. And the question is, can you tell me what they are? Would you be able to write down what's most important? Because there are things that are going to come your way, and you're going to have to say no to certain things so that you could say yes to better things, if not the best things. And this works itself out individually, in your family, and it works itself out in organizations, especially in churches. Can I tell you, there's no lack of opportunities at Crossbridge to do a whole lot of things, but we don't do a whole lot of things because we try to have a grid at our church that we can kind of sift everything through and say, what's the most important things we can do? Because we're a small church with limited resources and time that feels like it's thin enough. We don't want anybody to burn out and crash. What do we do that's most important? I believe this morning that we can look at the life of Jesus because he had values in his life. There's no concrete place you can look in Scripture that's going to say Jesus' core values, the things that drove his life, were these things. That would be awesome because then we could all take that and be like, that's what I'm going to do. It doesn't work that way, but I believe Jesus had values that he was able to always be going after and say, what's the most important thing? Well, based on this important value in my life, I'm going to do this. And this morning, I would love to look at a passage together in John chapter 11. So if you have your Bibles with you, we'll be in John chapter 11. It'll be about 3/4 of the way through. And the Gospel of John is a story about Jesus. And while you're turning there, I'll set this up for you a little bit. Jesus has done a lot of local ministry. He's been with people all over this local area that he's in, and people like him. There's even few families that he's connected with that love him. And at this point where we're picking it up in the Gospel of John, there's a family with three siblings that you may be familiar with, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus, who live in a town near Bethany, okay? And they're here, but Jesus is about 20 miles away. And we're going to find an issue because Jesus loves this family. We're going to see this over and over in our passage, but we're going to have a problem. And the question that we have to answer and that Jesus is going to have to answer is, what do you do when the pressing comes on and it doesn't quite match the value you've got? What do you do when something is immediate? Can you say no to the immediate? I believe you can. So let's pick up our story at the beginning of John chapter 11, verse 1. It says this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This is the Mary whose brother Lazarus was now sick. She was the one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters, Mary and Martha, they sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Who are they referring to? Lazarus. Excellent. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. Now for those who have grown up in church and you know the ending of this story, we gloss over things here and we're like, oh, that's cool. I know what's going to happen. He's going to raise him from the dead. That's how it ends. If you've never heard this story before, and I love that Crossbridge is filled with people who both are familiar with the Bible and unfamiliar with it. If you're hearing this story for the first time, you're probably thinking Jesus is a giant jerk. You're like, what an inconsiderate, and you fill in your expletive word, right? Like, what is this guy thinking? It clearly says he loves Mary, loves Martha, loves Lazarus, and when the sisters send word to Jesus, who's been healing all these people, the one you love is sick, he says, I think I should stay here for 2 days. Like, you know, I that seems really important. I love that guy. What's for dinner? You know, it just doesn't match. It doesn't connect. And you look and think, why would he do this? Why would he do something like that? I think you have to pay attention to verse 4 to get why. Okay, you have to pay attention to verse 4 and remember what we're talking about. Core values that will help determine what we do. In verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for, what's those two words? It's for God's glory so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Everything is right here in those five words. It is for God's glory. It's for God's glory. When Jesus had a vision for loving people and loving God, this helped him to focus exactly why he was doing what he's doing. But determine now, what do you do to love people and love God? You got to have a value. You got to have something to hang it on. And for Jesus, it was bringing glory to God in everything that he could do. No matter the situation, no matter the context, no matter the people, he was asking the question, how can I bring glory to God the Father through this? What can I do in this situation to point back to God? Every healing pointed back to God. Every resurrection pointed back to God. Every meal pointed back to God. Everything was to bring God glory. And so in this situation, Jesus is presented with an immediate need. And he says, you know what? No. No. It's for God's glory that I'm going to stay. It's for God's glory that I am not going to go. Which case would God receive more glory in this situation? Would it be through Jesus traveling 2 days to get there, healing Lazarus, and everybody's like, yay! Or he stays put. And it's actually almost a week before he gets to Mary and Martha's house. And when they see him, they've got some real choice words for him. Real choice. I love this passage because when Martha gets to Jesus, oh, she's like, why didn't you come? What's your problem? Why didn't you do this? And Jesus meets her in a real logical way. And when Mary comes, she's on her knees and she's weeping and she's like, why didn't you come? And Jesus doesn't get logical with her. He weeps with her. Right? He understands because he loves Lazarus. This isn't a guy that he's like, oh yeah, I kind of hope he dies. It's fine. There's more friends. No, he loves him. And so he meets this family where they're at. And Martha's like, it's not worth it, Jesus. He's already 4 days old. He's at like the stink stage of death. Just leave him in the tomb. And Jesus says, I'm going to go. And God receives a greater sense of glory here. It's about God's glory. In verse 40, I love Jesus' reply to Martha. He says to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see, what are those words? The glory of God. What's on Jesus' brain? It's the glory of God. What can I do in any situation, even the immediate, to bring glory to God? What's going to bring the greatest glory to God? And that's what he does. He had a value that determined what he was going to do, when he was going to do it. The why was always the same, to love God and to love people. I believe that we all have values. We all have things that are important to us. And here's my favorite part. Because I believe based on Genesis 1, that every single person in this room has been created in the image of God. Because I believe that you look like God, I believe God has given you specific, very important values just for you. I believe that all our values are going to be different. What some are passionate about, others will not be. In our house, one of the reasons that we have you will honor others and you will build them up, one of the reasons I pray over my son every night that he would have a voice for the voiceless and stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, is because when I got the junk kicked out of me and bullied in junior high, you learn quickly no one wants to be in this position. And when no one stands up for you, you know what's important. So a value in our house, Jimmy, we are a voice for the voiceless. We will stand up for people when no one else will. That's probably not a value in your house, because some of you, you're just cool. You were cool as a kid. You were cool as a teenager. You're cool as an adult. You never got beat up. You're probably the person who beat me up. Your value is beat up Jimmy. You know, no. Your values are going to be different. And so because your values are different, they look like God's values, right? They can be godly values because he's created you different. I'm so thankful for different values in all of our life, because if they were all the same, how boring would it be? Right? You get to adapt this for you, for your family. If you are not married and you are at Crossbridge right now, you are in a better position than anybody else, because you get to establish what's most important for you right now. You don't have to try to balance a spouse or anything like that, because then it gets real hard, right? Because they've got different values than you have. You get to establish things just for you to begin with. If you can do this now, yeah. Let me tell you, it's great. In our pre-service, there's someone who's 20 there, and I told her, Em, you got to do this now. It'll be so beneficial. And the two moms who were in the room with her, or three moms, all looked at her and went, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. So if you're not married yet, and you're not in that stage of life, you get to do this, and I'm excited for you. For those who are married, oh, you better be patient, because your spouse has different values than you, and you need to let them have their values. You need to have yours and decide together, what are the values we want for our family? Where do we want to see our family going? And that's going to determine, this is what's right, this is what's wrong. In our house, we have rules. We have values based on rest, recreation, hard work, discipline, punishment, and talents and skills, other people, all of that we have kind of guidelines for. And the best part is faith is integrated into every one of those for us. You can't pick one and say, well, faith doesn't have anything to do with that. It's got everything to do with everything. You can't get away from it. But we have this as a church as well. And we have five things at our church that we say, these are the most valuable things we have. These are the most, these are the five things that when anyone says, I've got an idea, we'll say, that's a great idea. Does it match our vision and our mission? Yeah. Does it meet our core values and help keep us focused on what we should be doing? Well, kinda. Well, that's kind of a great idea. We kinda don't have time for that, right? Because we don't have the energy and resources for it. The five most important things at Crossbridge, the first one is that we are unashamedly biblical. We are unashamedly biblical. We don't mess around with this one a whole lot. And I know it's probably a bit weird hearing that in church. Like, oh, a church cares about the Bible. That's cool. Don't all churches? Not the same. Not the same. If you've ever read the Bible, you would quickly become familiarized with the idea that it is a tough book to read because it's convicting. It talks about things that we don't like talking about in our culture. It speaks to almost every situation you can find yourself in life. And if you truly take what the Bible says as truth in your life, it's going to cause you and I to behave, to act, and to live out our life differently than we would want to do. Because the bottom line for us is we are selfish. And we live life for us. And what Scripture calls us to do is say, life's not about you, as nice as that is. It has to be about others, because that's what Christ demonstrated. And so we are a church who is unashamedly biblical. We will talk about any topic, anything that comes up. I mean, shoot, we did a 3-week series on politics. And you know the best part about it was? We're all so different, but we can start at the same place. Not your opinion, not a newspaper, not an online article. We start with Scripture. Because if we start with Scripture, we start with what we have in common before we start with our disagreements, right? I want to know where we agree on any topic. You could bring up anything. Do you want to talk about finances? Great. Do you want to talk about sexuality? Great. Do you want to talk about refugees and immigrants? Awesome. I'll talk about anything with you because Scripture speaks to it all. And if we start there together, I promise we'll disagree on some stuff. But I want to know where we agree, because then we can have a healthy conversation. All of those things at Crossbridge are talked about. We don't shy away from things. We are unashamedly biblical. And the reason that I love that is in Romans 1, 16, when Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he's talking about the story of Jesus. I am not ashamed of Jesus, his story, and this whole book that we've got, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Scripture is applicable to everyone. It's to everyone. It's not just for church people. It's for people who come to church and people who don't go to church. Let me tell you, Scripture speaks to their situation too. It brings hope and value to their life. So at Crossbridge, we won't stop talking about it. We just won't. Even when it gets weird and we look at Scripture and say, well, I don't know why that happens, you'll hear that from up here. You'll hear, this is confusing. Why? Because we're allowed to journey through this together. That's where we are. We will be unashamedly biblical. And I know this, that my words up here will fall short, but anytime that I can point you back to Scripture, His words, the Word of God, I believe it's 100% inspired by God and true. And I know for some here, you're probably thinking, Jimmy, that's ludicrous. I'm okay with you thinking that. I really am. But I believe it's true, and we'll preach up here and have every person who's up here preach that this is definitive. This is the Word of God. We can't question that. That's our first value that will never change. Our second value at Crossbridge is that we're family-focused. We're family-focused, and when we say that, that speaks to the truth that every person in every family has value. Not anyone is more important than others. I know that there's some churches who forget about kids and they focus all on adults. There's some churches who focus all on young adults and forget about the kids. There's some churches who, you know, they want all outward focus, inward focus, just marriage. I get all that. Some of those ministries are amazing. But at Crossbridge, we are family focused because we believe that when you can impact a family, you don't just change a person, but you change generations. You change generations. And so when we do series like, Future Family, we speak to lots of different areas in that series, but it's because we care about the whole family. We care about our entire family. No matter what your role or who you are, you have value in your family. We also recognize that we're in the middle of a school that's growing right now. Your kids and my kids are part of elementary schools, middle schools, and high schools that are, they're like blowing out the doors. There are kids everywhere. And when someone comes to Crossbridge for the first time, they usually are doing this because they're everywhere. 55% of Crossbridge is 18 and under. I can't find any other churches to reach out to and say, how do you do what you do? Because they all look and say, how do you do that? And I'm like, they just multiply. There's foster parents, they're adopting kids, I think some just come with their neighbors, and they're like, I'll go to church with you, you know. Here's what I love about that, and I'm not kidding. I love that kids love being here. I love that over here, when we're worshiping here, they're louder than we are. I'll take that every week. We'll sing louder. I'll take it every week because our kids have fun. And at Crossbridge, when I say that we're family-focused, we care about the whole family, but at Crossbridge, we will absolutely, positively pay a little more attention to kids and to teens. We just will. Whenever Becky or Will ask me and ask the board, can we do this? It will take our ministries to the next level. We find a way to make that happen. We find a way to make it happen because if our kids continue to want to be here, they will drag us here. When we are like, I'm tired, it was a late night, friends outside, I don't know that I really want to go. When they're the ones like, are we going to church? How do you say no to that? How do you say no to that? Yes, and you could sing till you're crazy and I'll have a sheet that will get stuck in my car somewhere. Right? We'll invest in that with every bit of energy that we have. We will do everything we can to reach kids and to reach teens. We'll drop stuff to make sure because that's a value. That's a value. It changes who we are. It dictates what events we do. They're family-focused events that have to do with kids and full families. Next week, when we talk about the future of Crossbridge and how we're going to be ministering locally, the idea is it needs to be family-oriented. Our kids need to be involved because they need to know in a culture that says everything's about you and what you want, that you don't matter most. They need to know that others matter more than they do. And if we can help them learn that, how different will our families be? This is who we are. The third value is that we're Holy Spirit empowered. We're Holy Spirit empowered. We are a church that believes and holds to the truth that if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit lives in you and gives you power to live a life that you could not live on your own. When you and I are in a place when you think the phrase, I just can't make it through the day, that position is a position without the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit, one of the three persons of God, lives in us to give us power, to give us authority to make it through every day. That when we snap on our kids or we snap on our parents or we snap at a teacher or at work when things didn't go like we expected, we're not bound by that. But the Holy Spirit convicts us in those areas and said, you know what? I can empower you to live differently. We celebrate that here at Crossbridge. I like what Jesus says to his disciples in John 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to come help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be, and what's that word there? He will be in you. You cannot live a life that looks like Jesus on your own. You desperately need the Holy Spirit. And at Crossbridge, we believe that he has given each and every one of us specific gifts that we all need to work together. And that's how Crossbridge exists. So we will find these gifts together, discover them, and say, now go and run with it. We believe that God's empowered you to do that. We celebrate that through prayer, through silence. We celebrate that and highlight that through worship. I know that we're a church that loves music. I'm the forefront of that. Music, it's wired for something to bubble in me and gets me going. We invest a lot in making sure that our Sunday mornings are inspiring. I am thankful the last 2 weeks, it's been so evident to me when I get up, I'm like, man, Will, this is fun. I like this. I like seeing a full stage of people who are worshiping. Thank you for playing, but you're more worshiping than you are playing. And I see that because sometimes you stop playing and just stop, and you're like, oops, doesn't matter. Thanks for leading us that way. Thanks for showing us what it means to go after Jesus through music. Thanks for allowing music to be one of those things that for our families who have children with special needs, can I tell you, music meets them in such a way that we see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in those kids' lives that we can't experience. I love that. And when they sing and they're loud and it makes you uncomfortable, Jesus is grinning ear to ear. He's like, that's my kid. I like that about our church. That's who we're going to be. We care about that. Last night, we sang for an hour and 15 minutes over at another church who let us use their building just so we could worship. I was tired afterwards. It was fun. It was amazing. And it poured over into today. We're creating space so that we can meet with the Holy Spirit because we want to be Holy Spirit empowered. Our fourth is that we're intentionally relevant. intentionally relevant. I like when the Apostle Paul says this to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, though I'm free and I belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law. Though I myself am not under the law, as to win those who are under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Simply put, Paul understood the culture that he was in, and he was willing to do whatever it took to find some commonality with whomever it was, to simply say, God loves you. This is the gospel of Jesus. He was willing to not eat certain things to connect with people who didn't eat those things. He was willing to, I have to imagine, sit and have a drink with people that's where they were at. And he's not going to sit and say, ooh, Jesus is going to burn you up now. Right? No, no, no. He would stop to be with those people, those with the law, those without the law, those who are weak, those who are strong, those who were, you name it. He would say, I'll find something in your life to connect with you there. Because Jesus can be there. As a church, that means we need to understand our culture. We need to understand South Jersey specifically. It's why we do the sermon series that we do. I know lots of you have asked, Jimmy, can we just do a deep exegetical study through the book of, and you pick a book that's like super deep and you're like, we should go hard after that. I love that stuff. But your neighbor could probably care less. And while I love you, I love your neighbor. And they're just as important at being part of Crossbridge. So we try to do everything we can to remain unashamedly biblical, but present the Bible in such a way that no matter where you are when you come on a Sunday morning, you could take something away. You can walk away and go, I get that. I can take something away from here. There are people around you now who have been coming to Crossbridge for years. Years. Who would not call themselves Christians. But they're here every week. Do you know why? Because there's something about the Bible that inspires them. And while they can look at me and say, Jimmy, I love this. The Bible is practical. It's applicable. The Jesus whole resurrection stuff, not for me. That's weird. And I say, I know. I get it. And they're like, but I like the people. I feel inspired and it changes my week. I'll see you Sunday. I want that every week. I want people who don't know Jesus to be sitting next to people who do know Jesus and throughout the midst of it look at each other and go, oh, you're messed up too? Cool. That's where we are. We will be intentionally relevant. That's why we do series on families, on marriage, on parenting. We will talk about politics. We'll talk about sexuality. We'll talk about anything the culture's talking about, because if it's a vehicle to present the hope of Jesus, I'll take it. Anything short of sin, we'll go after it. That's what we're going to do. That makes people uncomfortable at Crossbridge. I know that. If you're looking for those deep studies, if you're looking for that, small groups are great for that as we go into some of that stuff. If you're looking for another church that's going to go super deep and verse by verse, I can point you to some great churches. I love these places. There's a place for those churches. That's not who we are. Not right now. We care about those who are unchurched just as much as those who are church. Lastly, we're relationally transparent. This one is usually why people leave Crossbridge. And it's because it gets really messy here really quick. If you're here and you think you've got it all together, you're in trouble because maybe you could teach us. Because everyone else around you knows that they're a hot mess. The first week that Will came to work at Crossbridge, I remember sitting in an apartment together and we were talking about Crossbridge and I said, listen, man, people get really real, really quick. So if you say to someone, how can I pray for you? Expect things that get ugly. It's like, but they don't know me yet. I'm like, it doesn't matter. Hashtag this is Crossbridge. And so we were sitting there and someone put something on their Facebook page which was a little less than stellar. And we were trying to have the conversation. Do you remember this? We were trying to have the conversation and said, okay, well, what do we do about this? Like, how would you approach this? He's like, we need to correct them. We need to tell them that you can't say those things. That's inappropriate. And I said, okay. And he says, Jimmy, what do you think we should do? I said, at Crossbridge, we don't really correct behavior. We try to figure out why the behavior is what it is. So there's something going on in their life. Why don't you just text them and ask how you could pray for them? You'll probably get much further than any correction. Whatever. How can I pray for you? Just laid it out. And he looks at me and went, what just happened? I said, this is our church, Will. This is a church where when you ask how can I pray, you get real stuff. This is a church where when I say it's messy, at Crossbridge this year, we have seen things that it's been so difficult. It's been so difficult. There has been separations, divorces, incarcerations, deaths, marriages, kids born, jobs lost, jobs found. If you could pick a situation, it's happened, and we're not a big church. And so I asked my coach, does this happen at all churches? He said, probably, but they just don't talk about it. We talk about it. We foster this through an emotionally healthy spirituality course to which our pre-service says, isn't that the one that most people quit? Yes, some do. But those who make it through, you can ask any of them, is your life different? And every one of them will say, it is different and I wouldn't trade it for the world. That small group will be starting in September. Write it down now. September on Wednesdays, my house. You could come. Things come up that you wouldn't expect. And the beauty is there's no shame in it. Because we believe that Jesus has redeemed us. So we talk real at our church. When it gets real, that's when some people have left. I'm okay with that. Because we will not compromise being relationally transparent. You need those friends and I need those friends that when tough times come and you're ready to be done, you need someone that you can unload on. Someone who's not going to just say, oh, it's okay, everybody deals with it. But someone who's going to weep with you when you weep. Someone who's going to be unashamedly biblical with you. And you know when you're off, they're going to call you on that. Our elders have no choice but to go through this. And once a month, you need to know that I sit down with them and we have a list of questions that they've designed that we ask each other and that they ask me. Questions about family, marriage, faith, sexuality, work, all of it comes into play. Why? Because God's in all of those places. And if we can't have those conversations to begin with each other, why would we ever expect that from our congregation? At staff meeting, this is a regular part of staff meeting. It makes Will uncomfortable every week, right? He's like, I'm red. I love that about our church. This is who we are. With all of these values, you might even call them like our Crossbridge family rules, right? If we could have a little canvas up there, it might look like this. And we'd hang it. And when people would walk in, they'd go, okay, this is who you are. I'm in. Or this is who you are? I'm uncomfortable. But if you were here now, I want to invite you to embrace these as a church with me. I want to ask you to say, these are the things that are important. And you get to say, these are the values that we celebrate as a church. So when you see me out of line, and you're like, Jimmy, that doesn't seem really transparent. I think you're lying to me. You can tell me that. I'm okay with it. When you think that what we're doing, Jimmy, this isn't going to connect to my neighbors, they're not going to understand this at all, you have to tell us that. You get to hold these standards like the rest of us. This is our family rules. And so this morning, I simply want to leave you with the question of what values has God put in your life? What values has He given you personally, as a family? And I'm going to ask you to adapt ours as a church, to celebrate with us what's most important. When you know what's most important, you'll be able to say no to things that aren't the best, aren't good, so that you could say yes to things that are the best. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me as our worship team comes up? Jesus, I thank you that you had values. I thank you that you cared for those who everybody else rejected. I thank you that you saw value in women and children in a culture that did not, because you said everyone is created equal in my image. I thank you that in everything you did, you chose and focused on bringing your Father glory. I thank you that you've called us to be a light in South Jersey. And when we talk about all of these values, you desire us to do all we can to meet the needs of those around us, any way, any shape. However it works out, you call us as a church to go, but we do so focused. God, I ask that as we do that together, you would expand the impact of Crossbridge. Not that you would bring hordes and hordes of people from other churches in. I pray that you would bless the churches around and the mission and the vision that you give them. Will you allow those churches to explode? But at Crossbridge, we ask for those who don't know you and those who do know you who are hurting, that they would find a home here. And they would feel healed and released. And God, Crossbridge's impact would continue because we know what's most important. That we will not stray from your scripture, loving people, but we will do everything to love you more. God, even as we transition and close and as we give back to you with our tithes, with our offerings, as we give money back, I'm thankful for a church that wants to honor that as best we can. And I ask that you would expand what we give even wider, and that there would be great impact all over this area and all over the world, even as we become more present online and try relevance there, that there would be impact to people we would never dream and never see, and they would find hope in you, Jesus. God, I thank you for this morning. We love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.